Well, this morning we gather together for a homecoming service for our friend Ron Lopes as he departed from earth to heaven. We're going to take some time this morning and just talk a little bit about our friend. And this morning I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, who died and was raised for the glory of God. May the grace and mercy of God be with you this morning. And the Bible says some interesting things, and it says that we are not to look to things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are just temporary, like our lives. They're just temporary. But there are things that are unseen that are eternal, and today we come together to remember before God our dear friend, a father, a brother, a devoted husband, one that spoke into our lives, Ron Lopes, and give him thanks for his life and to comfort one another during our time of grief. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you've made Ron in your image and you shared him with each and every one of us this morning. And we thank you for Ron. We thank you, Lord, for his memory. We thank you for the gift that you made him, because he was a gift from heaven for us to partake in, for us to enjoy, for us to spend some time. This morning, there's a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. And the first one is in the book of John, John 14:1. John 14:1. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you." Let me just stop there for a second. There's a place where Ron's at where there's a mansion. Hallelujah. A place where that was already prepared for him. And there's one prepared for me and one prepared for you. The Bible says, "And if you go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there may be you also. And where I go, you know the way you know." And Thomas said to the Lord, "We do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said this. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Ron understood that scripture very well. I remember him sharing that with me and others in the past, that there's no other way than Jesus. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35, says this. It says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall it be tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing shall ever separate us from the love of Christ our Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we celebrate a departure. We go from one realm of the earth to our heavenly realm where we were really created to be anyways. Amen. A homecoming service. A time to celebrate a life of someone who made a difference in my life and in your life. Someone who spoke life. Someone who I thought about this for a moment. A man that was brilliant and bright in so many ways that he knew there was one thing missing, that he needed Jesus. And he was smart enough to catch it, to grab it, and to run with it. You know, I always laughed because he was my only rocket scientist friend I ever had. Amen. You know? But now he's in heaven with God where all the rockets go by. Amen. Ron's there with his elder brother, Jesus. He's reunited with his heavenly Father. Really, this morning, Ron truly lacks nothing. He's healed. He's whole. He's complete. He's celebrating with his Father and his elder brother. He's there with my Father in heaven, amen, and others that have gone before him, and he's rejoicing, amen. So this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted to take some time so that we can cherish the memory of Ron and what he's done for us and things that he's spoken in our lives. And I look at Ron, and I look at the similarities to Jesus. And I said, wow, you look at Ron, and you look at his friendship, and it reflects the compassion of Jesus Christ. And then you look at Ron, and you say, man, he's got integrity, and it demonstrates the goodness of God. And then you look at Ron again, and you look at his faithfulness, and it's just a glimpse of God's eternal love. God worked through Ron to impact all our lives. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to take a brief time for those that want to share a little bit about Ron in their lives. And we do have an order for this, but I wanted to bring up Pat first this morning, and she's going to probably say some kind things about her husband. Amen. And I think about Pat, and I think about Ron the first day they walked into this church. Smile on their face, kind of checking it out, and they go, this ain't a big church, but it's, there's a church here. There's some people with some heart. And I can say one thing about Pat, and I can say something about Ron. They are both people of integrity, both people with morals, people that love Jesus, people that are willing to give from their very soul, their very being. They're compassionate, and they love people. And so this morning, you know, when you look at Pat, you see a little Ron in her too, amen? So this morning I wanted to bring up Pat, and she can say a couple words, and then we'll go from there. Hallelujah.
Yikes. I want to thank you all for coming, families, friends. Can you hear me? Okay. Families, friends, and neighbors. As I reflect on mine, two things kind of come to mind. Ron and his effect on people around him over the years. And Ron is a writer. Ron loved people from all walks of life. He was able to establish rapport with people he came across. He took an active interest in other people's lives and backgrounds, and people really responded in kind. He really shared his faith with other people. For example, there were many times before Ron became really sick, we would take frequent walks in the Las Vegas Mall together. And in the mall, there's like a little kiosk in the center. And during the walk, he would stop and he would talk to the vendors. And he would take quite a long time. And he took an active interest in them. They didn't make a sale, but a lot of times what he would do, a lot of these folks were Jewish. So he would give them a little history lesson, or he would ask them questions about the Bible. And he knew a lot about their culture, and they were very impressed by that. You know, they were very impressed that he took a real active interest, because that's the kind of person he was. And he, you know, through that he shared his faith. He shared his faith in other ways. I took him to the hospital numerous times. I've taken him to the emergency room. And even in his pain, he would find time to share the Lord with other people. He would, there were times while he was in the hospital room, you know, the doctor would visit, and he would strike up a conversation with him. He just had the real ability to just bring out just other people and just really respond to him. And a lot of times, I believe the doctors really saw the Lord, and Lord in him, and they would walk away with tears in their eyes. I know he would even pray for nurses. One time I heard that when he was in the hospital, I wasn't there, but I was told that he would bring in the nurses and have a little prayer session, a little church. And he really did this. You know, even in his pain, he really reached out to people, to the nurses and the doctors around him. And I saw this kind of thing time and time again. I know the Lord worked through him. You know, it says in Scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also in Ron's case, out of the abundance of his heart, his pen wrote. He was also a very good writer. And a lot of his writings reflected the Lord. Ron was not only an intelligent engineer, but he was very involved in screenwriting. He was very involved in writing plays. He directed plays. He even published a play. And a lot of his faith was incorporated in his writings. He was also a poet. He wrote a lot of poetry. He wrote little sermons, like back in California, we used to go minister to convalescent homes together, and he used to write little sermons for the little ladies there in the room. He used to just minister to them. They were just really on his heart. Like I said, he wrote some poems. I'd like to share a couple of his poems with you that he wrote. Okay, the first one is called He Knows. These aren't too long. Okay, the first one. Wandering without a home, and the winds howl with the coldness of winter. The summer sun dries out your throat. Faces look, but don't see you. Your stomach aches with hunger. Jesus knew all of these hardships. He chose whom he will to extend his mercy. Listen to him. He commands only good things for his people. Love is everlasting. Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Now the second poem he wrote, it's called Poems to Come. Who can say what the Lord has in store for us? We pray for what we want. The Lord gives us what we need. We plan and plan to no avail. The Lord listens to us when we pray and waits for us to finally give over all things to him. We gain wisdom when we realize he is wisdom. He is not arbitrary. He's just complex. Complex enough to have constructed the world and all of its laws of physics. When we study these laws, we realize how beautiful he is indeed. We only need to listen. We don't need to be Einstein to know that he has made a beautiful world for us. The unbelievers say that God has created evil, but we know that a lack of God creates evil. Love one another. Be there as a friend. These are of the poems to come, of his mercy and love for us all, and of whom he chose to extend his love and mercy to others. Don't wait to love your brothers and sisters. Now is the time. Life is brief. Use it well for your Father's purpose. So a lot of his writings really reflected his faith. And he's got numerous other sermons and other writings that I have stacks of at home. I also received a letter from his cousins back in Buffalo. We're not able to make it today, so I'd just like to read a page of that. He's cousins of the Winkies. It says, "Greetings, everyone. Ron Lopes was a good person to know. And for that simple reason, our lives have been enriched. Ron was our cousin. You might have known him as your coworker, a church member, or perhaps as a friend. However it was, you were blessed to have your connection. With Ron and his good wife, Pat, living here in Las Vegas, and our family living in New York State, we did our best amidst trips, phone calls, and emails to stay connected. Until the later years of his illness, Ron had made a tradition of returning to his native Western New York, precisely at Erie County Fair time, with that as a focal point Ron would see to it that family and friends were seen and grave sites were visited. That was the kind of loving person the man was, living the present, creating traditions and remembering the past. Our children always looked forward to each summer when Ron and Pat would visit. It always meant fun times, happy reminiscing, and gathering with all kinds of fantastic food. As the old saying goes, nothing stays the same, but the changes will be the biggest obstacles for us to handle. Now that Ron is in a better place, we all will miss him dearly, particularly his sense of humor and his faith. By knowing Ron, he almost made it easy for us to live better lives just by watching what he did. Part of what makes everyone's life experience more valuable and enriched is to have the blessing of knowing a person such as Ron. We are confident that our good Lord has a special fondness and place in heaven for dear cousin Ron. Sent with love from your family in Buffalo. So I will miss Ron terribly, but I'll take with me good memories of him. And Jesus gives us the assurance that, you know, by his dying on the cross and our faith in him, that we will all be reunited again in heaven. And that is our hope and our assurance. God bless you all.
He was a poet, and I didn't even know it. He would appreciate it, Dad. Michelle, you want to come up and say a couple kind words about your father?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. My father had a big personality, one of the biggest. And no attempt of mine here to talk about him could ever fully describe him. He was charming, emotional, and passionate, full of love for all the wonders and delights that make up living. He loved food, art, architecture, and travel. He loved music, from opera to Karen Carpenter. And Christmases in particular were full of Karen's gently melodic voice wishing us all a Happy New Year, too. He was an avid outdoorsman who deeply enjoyed just about everything nature had to offer and often became bemused when his attempts to master nature outmastered him. There's a story he loved to tell about a fishing trip he took me on when I was very young, probably 2 or 3. I have heard it so many times, I no longer remember if my own memories are authentic of the trip or if they're just from him. We were both out on a boat, fishing together, using marshmallows for bait. He kept fishing and fishing for the longest time, but nothing was biting. Finally, he turned to me and discovered that all the fish were on my end of the boat, eager for the marshmallows that I was flinging overboard in big fistfuls. I will miss hearing my dad's stories. I'm prejudiced. I was always partial to the ones that had me in them. But the stories he told could bring a smile to my face every time. Some of them were outright jokes, and he'd apologize to me for retelling the same ones over and over. But I was his most devoted audience member and never regretted a single punchline. Stories were a true passion for him. He actually wasn't a big reader and often would forego a novel for handy Cliff's notes, much to my dismay. But stories aren't in books alone, and along with being an oral storyteller, he pursued poetry, plays, and the big one, movies. Movies turned his head and captured his heart all in one go. He was a TCM devotee to rival Robert Osborne. Because of my dad, I discovered some of my favorite movies early on. Fritz Lang's M, Singing in the Rain. He was generous with his interests and made sure to share them with me.
For that, I will always be grateful. Growing up, we watched a lot of movies together. The Indiana Jones films were a particular favorite of mine back then, and I could think of no one cooler than that dashing hero with a whip. When I entered kindergarten and we were asked what our fathers did for a living, I thought for a bit and said my dad was an archaeologist. To me back then, archaeologists and engineers were the same thing. They were magic. My dad made things that went into outer space. These objects came from the depths of his imagination and flew out to live in the stars. What greater magic is there? I did not know one then, and I do not know one now. Remember my dad by remembering his stories, and he will live on. Remember him by celebrating the wonders and excitement the world has to offer. And when you make wishes, make one on a satellite instead of a star. Maybe you'll get lucky and wish on one that he made. Thank you.
Wow. Good stuff. Mr. Dell?
Start with a scripture first. I'm going to read Isaiah 41. Starting verse 9. You whom I have chosen from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hands. And when I first was reading that, I was reading that for the family, for Patton, for Michelle, as an inspiration to for you guys to be strengthened. If you know that God is with you, you're not alone. Ron was like a father to me. Ron affected me in a way that no other human being on this earth has ever affected me. I would have never thought back in August of 2007 that the little old man that sat next to me and started talking to me would change my life. I was a homeless drunk at that time, and Ron saw me at the park that him and Pat would come to on every Friday and volunteer their time to feed the homeless. And Ron came to me one day and sat down and just started talking to me. And from my past experiences with people in Las Vegas, everyone had an angle. So as I'm sitting there and this man is talking to me, in my head, I'm saying, he has to realize that he can't get over on me. He has to realize that I can take him if need be, so he can't hurt me. He can't do anything to me. Why is he talking to me? And I asked, I said, who are you? And he simply said, I'm a child of God, and I just want to show you Jesus' love. Ron, me and Ron had many conversations through the course of the years, and he told me about when he had had a stroke. And he had told me that he was ready to go after he had his stroke, and that the Lord had put on him, and the Lord had said, you selfish, selfish man, you have so much work to do. And Ron took that as a commission to go out and to touch people and to change people's lives. And his obedience is something that I admire. It's something that I strive after. His compassion for others is something that I strive after. His unfailing faith in God and in man. I couldn't tell you how many times Ron and Pat would stop whatever they were doing and go to help someone that they had been helping along the way that had failed again. Stop whatever they're doing, and they would go and get that guy that decided to go back out and pick him up and take him somewhere else and never get upset. No matter what day or time. Never have a bad word to say to them, you know, and try to help them get right back on track. Ron spoke so much life into me that, like I said, he's like a father to me. You know, thank you, Michelle, for sharing your father with me. Thank you, Pat, for sharing your husband. And that's from the bottom of my heart. I don't even know. You know, a lot of the things that I do now is because of the influence that Ron's had on me. A lot of the things that I try to treat people, the way I try to be patient with people, which is something that I didn't have that Ron has helped me with. The way that I try to speak life into people. I'm nowhere near as eloquent as Ron. But I put that attempt out there. It doesn't matter where Ron was at, ever. Be it in Denny's, be it in the mall, be it in the hospital. Ron is going to speak about God to you. One way or another, he is going to find out your name, and he's going to start speaking life into you, no matter what the situation is. That's the man that Ron Lopes was. That's the man that I knew. That's the man that I love, and that's the man that I'm deeply going to miss. Pat, Michelle, like I said, thank you. I appreciate it. I really do, because I wouldn't be here without him. Thank you.
Well, Matt Bliss.
First off, I'll just have to say that the one thing I can remember from Mr. Ron is every day that he would walk into church, he would always say, "Good morning, welcome to Spirit Life Christian Church." It was always, he was very inspirational, very upgoing. He always, no matter what mood you were in, whether it be bad, whether you'd be having a really bad week, he would always, always lift you up. And I just want to thank him for the couple, like 6 months, that he spent he always took time out of his week to help me and my sister with our schooling. Whenever we would have trouble, he would always answer any questions that we had. He was always a very really nice guy, and he always had these great theology questions for us every week. That was the one thing I can remember. That was my favorite thing about the week. He was just a great guy. He always had something good to say. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Steve, sure.
To say much after Michelle and Pat, they've kind of hit it on the head, and Dell as well. Ron was just a great, giving, caring man. I will miss his greetings every Sunday. He'd walk in the church, first thing he'd say is Shalom Aleichem, and he'd expect me to respond. He He seemed to take pride in the fact that I was born and raised Jewish and then became a Christian, and he always brought that out and tried to talk about that, and didn't spend a whole lot of time with him outside of church, but what we did was just great. The man was funny. No matter what I was feeling or what mood I was in, he could always make you laugh. The stories were just fantastic. The jokes were sometimes bad, but so bad laughable. I mean, you just couldn't help but laugh, you know, and he knew it. And that was just Ron. He always brought out the best in you.
I'll try.
Well, must he know I'm the emotional one anyway. I'm waiting for him to say quit. You know, Ron was such a blessing in all of our lives. And I look around this room and I see so many seeds that he has planted through his daughter, through his wife, through Dell, through Tom, and the list just goes on and on. But however, there is a baton, so to speak, that needs to be passed, because as Ron is up there with Jesus having all kinds of fun, there's, yes, and he's not here to give me my hugs and my kisses, so that baton has to go to Pat now. Because when Ron was here, I always got several hugs, several kisses, and I always look forward to that on Sunday mornings. And he was such a blessing. And it's just like, what more can you say? He will be dearly missed. For me, it's not the same walking in here with Ron gone, with Dad gone. It's just, it's hard. And now he's probably looking down saying, stop crying, Sherry. Yeah. But yeah, he will be dearly missed. But just know that the seeds that he has planted will go on for a long, long time in everyone's lives.
Hallelujah. God is good. Anyone from Pat's family want to come up and say a couple kind words about Ron? Or I can open it up. Howard, do you want to say something? Okay. Let me bring the mic to you.
Over in Israel, they'd be saying to you today, Shabbat Shalom. Today is the Shabbat. Today is the day of celebration over there. I've known Ron for a long time, about 10 years. Ron has been a tremendous inspiration, a tremendous blessing to everybody that he came in contact with. And one of the things that is really amazing is you look back at his life, Ron actually had a Damascus Road experience, and he actually became more a man of God, a more loving, kind demonstration of the goodness and kindness of God after he had his aneurysm. There was something that happened, and maybe his brain detached and his spirit attached, and he became a different man. In the respect that he went out, he shared Jesus with everybody, he prayed the sinner's prayer with everybody, he made sure that if you weren't saved, you were saved, if you were saved, you were more saved. He just wanted to make sure that everybody knew his best friend, the love of his life, Jesus. The what he leaves behind will have effects, of course, on us, but there'll be a tremendous ripple effect, and we won't even know the number of lives that Ron has touched until we get to heaven, until they get to heaven, because there's probably people all over the world that have heard stories of this little guy that did nothing but walk around, share Jesus, give Jesus, gave of himself, gave completely and totally of himself without asking any questions. And we're all better people for knowing Ron, but that's because of the Jesus that was in him. And so we're thankful. My family and I are thankful that we can have this time to come in and share this with y'all. And God bless everybody.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so faithful, isn't he? Just to know Ron, just the stories. Anybody else want to say a kind word to Ron? Come on up, my friend Mike.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and spent a little time with God, and this is what he put on my heart to share about Ron. And I'm going to read it with you. He said, "If I was a betting man, I'd bet that Ron is walking around heaven telling the other saints that Jesus loves them." And then telling him a joke. Because Ron truly believed that Jesus loved him. The Bible verse that best describes Ron to me is, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." But now Ron's season here with us has come to an end, and his season in heaven has begun. So while we'll miss him here, we should rejoice for him there. He fought the good fight of faith and now has received his crown, and has heard the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy." So now I want to encourage Pat, his wife, his daughter Michelle, his family and friends, that while we have to go on our way without him, we can be comforting by knowing that his being here was not in vain. Ron has left a spiritual legacy through all of our lives that he touched. As the scripture says, "Don't mourn for those who are falling asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, so we don't say goodbye, but good night, until the morning star shines and we see Ron again." I met Ron at the same Bible study that that Dale and Pat and Ron used to go to, and at that time I was getting my life together too. I had just got back home, and while I'm trying to get my life together, God has me helping other people get their lives together, and we started having a Bible study there with some of the other people that were there. And then the Bible study led to a Bible study at Ron and Pat's house, and we just shared the Lord. You know, Ron really loved the Lord. And Ron reminds me of this image God always gives me about his love. It's like a pitcher that's always turned sideways. It never empties, but it's always pouring into a cup, and the cup just constantly overflows because nothing can contain God's love. If God pours his love into you, it's going to pour out of you into others. And Ron was a true example of that. God's love just shined through him and showed through him in everything he did and said and everywhere he was and all the people he was around. The Bible tells us we have many teachers, but not many spiritual fathers. Ron was a spiritual father to me as well as to Dale and others. And he didn't mind getting in your business, you know, but he felt... but he felt he earned that right, and he did. And when he did get in your business, it was for your good, just like a father would do. He'd tell you what you wanted to hear, whether you wanted to hear it or not. But he did it in love, you know. So I'll miss Ron. You know, Ron was a good friend. I remember one event when we used to go and eat, because Ron used to know everywhere in the world to go eat, all the best places. And he would never let you pay. I'd pick up the receipt, he'd snatch it back. I'd pull it again, he'll say, "Don't do that again." And he'll pull it back. So I had to trick him one time, and when I got up to go to the restroom, I just paid the bill. And so when the waitress came around, he goes, well, where's the bill? He goes, it already got paid. He looked at me, and I said, hey, I got to get one in. But, yeah, I'll truly miss Ron. Ron was a great person, and I think in that spiritual legacy that he left here, his work will continue. He was a vessel fit for the master's use, and he let God use him. Thank you.
Thank you. Your mouse, Tom.
I don't even know where to start with it. I mean, what do you say about a great man, a great brother? When I found out from Dell, and then I called Pat, and then when she said he passed away, it's when I broke down. I really realized that, you know, I never really cried, and I realized that's my brother. You know, I have a brother and a sister, but they're not my brother and sister. He was my brother. You know, he's got the Holy Spirit in him, and we're connected. You know, Jesus, do his will, his way. And I don't know what to say other than I loved him so much. And I'm going to miss him so much. We did everything together. I was homeless, long hair, long beard, drugs, drunk all the time. You know, I had a mom that told me she disowned me. And, you know, no family, nothing. Lived in a tunnel. And, you know, through God, glory be to you, Jesus, used him to take me and bring me to church. Who picks up a homeless man? Not me. He did. You know, how do you trust somebody like that? Drunk, drugs, help you out, feed you, bring you to church. Will the pastor even like you? Will his wife like you? You know, you don't know. But I did, and I went with him, and God changed my life and used him to really helped me. And you know, and then after I'd come to church for a while and start getting a little bit cleaned up as far as with the word and everything, still out there drinking because I was still homeless, you know, and then he'd do everything to get me off those streets. And he actually got on the phone and then called my mom and talked to her about it, which, you know, 38-year-old man, he's calling my mom, but it's a good thing he did, because you know, she ended up forgiving me because of what Ron had talked to her. And she had sent some money to get me into a halfway house where I could get cleaned up, get on my feet. And, you know, ever since then, Jesus has been with me. And, you know, there have been times when I've slipped and fallen, but I get right back up, you know, through Christ. Christ is with me. And I'm not drunk, and I'm not using drugs anymore. And I work, and what am I going to do without him? I don't know. But I know he's at home, and it's not a funeral. It's a celebration, you know. He's at home, and that's exactly where I want to be. And when Jesus is ready, you know, if something ever happened to me, I'd hope that people would pray, you know, if it's your will, God, take him home. Don't, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to pray for me to let him be all right, keep carrying on. I want to be with Jesus, and that's where he is. And I can't wait to come home to see you, Ron. God bless everybody.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to say something about Ron? If I could have my mom and Amanda and my wife come up here for a minute, we wanted to say something too. And then we'll close. Yeah, grab those Kleenexes, praise the Lord. Do you get the underlying theme about who Ron really was? I mean, we think he was a rocket scientist and he was all this and smart and all that, but man, he was like Jesus. So I'm going to allow my wife to say a couple kind words, and my daughter and my mom as well, and
praise the Lord. Amen. Woo. I'm at a loss for words, actually. I just know that Ron is in heaven and he's rejoicing. I don't know what else to say. I'm so thankful that Pat and Ron walked into the church when they did. I just remember the love that Ron shared and all his hugs that he would give. And we would always just talk about, because I'm all Italian, he's Italian, we would talk about our Italian heritage. And I was so glad that somebody walked in the church that loved to give hugs besides me. Always giving hugs. So we just enjoyed that. And his mom's name is Carmela. My mom's name is Carmela. We just had so much in common. It was just such a blessing. So, Pat, I love you as my sister and Michelle. And you're always welcome here in our church, gatherings, whatever we do, please come see us. And just to all the family and everybody, this church is here for you. And as Ron always said, the church was small, but we are a mighty group. And so we love Ron. We'll remember his jokes, his Michigan song that he used to sing. I don't remember how it goes, but praise God. And so we love him, and he'll be missed. I love him so much, but I know that he's in my spirit. He's up there with Jesus, and we can rejoice now. So praise God.
All right. Well, to me, he was like a second grandpa. I felt like I grew up with him my entire life. And really, when I went to high school, he was the reason why I passed all my AP physics classes. He'd be over like every other day, and I'd be like, how the heck do you do this? And I'd be the only one in the class the next day to get every answer right. And I was like, it's the glory of God, what can I tell you? But it was really like, it was all him, man. It was sweet. And then he conducted plays for us to do at the church. I'll never forget. And always giving him a hug and kiss every time I saw him, and he would just fill me up with so much wisdom and joy of the Lord and stuff. He really was an inspiration to me, and that's one thing I'll never forget from him. So thank you.
I just wanted to say that all the words that were said about Ron today was very, very true. He was a giving, loving man. He cared about everybody, and everything that came out of his mouth was about Jesus and learning about Jesus, talking about Jesus. I remember when we met him, my husband kind of shunned away from him a little bit because he says, I don't like, every time I come in, he's hugging and kissing me. I says, you know, Chet, that's his way, you know, because my husband wasn't like that. He says, you know. But then after a while, they got to be real good friends. They'd walk in, and my husband would hug him and kiss him, and they would talk and joke. Then when he was sick, my husband would call him, and they were always talking and joking about everything. And I remember when he had passed, Pat came up to me Sunday and said to me, Ron had passed. Now he's in heaven with Chet. My husband had passed 2 weeks before that, and it was sad, but I was happy because I know that Chet was with somebody in heaven, and somebody that he loved, and was being loved there also. It's been hard, I know, for Pat, as I understand what she's gone through, but you make it. The good Lord gives you such strength and such love, and he's always there with you. You're never, ever, ever alone. This I have to say, I know. I'm never alone. Even in my hard times and sad times, I'm never, ever alone. And I have the church people here that are so wonderful. They're like family to me, and I love every one of them, and I thank them for everything that they've done for me, too. But Ron, yes, he was special. I remember when we were sitting at the table, we had like a get-together. Everybody was bringing food, and his daughter was sitting next to us, and he sang these two songs. He didn't miss a word. He knew every word of those songs when he was singing it to you. That was so beautiful. He loved you so, so much, and Pat, too. So I'm very, very happy to have known him. He was a wonderful man. Smart, intelligent, caring, loving, gave of his heart. I mean, I never met anybody that was so, so giving and so caring. And every word that came out of his mouth was Jesus all the time. So it made you feel good. It did inspire you. So I'm very happy to have known him and his family. God bless you all, and thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good and faithful, isn't he? Dell's going to come up here in a moment and sing a couple songs. And then we're going to dismiss. There was a time that I visited Ron in the hospital. And his room was 316. He says, I'm in the right room. John 3:16, you know, and I just recall him not feeling well and being there and praying for him, and then he would get the nurses involved and everybody involved, and then just be praying, and he'd be telling everybody. And when I'd walk out of the hospital, they said, "Well, you must be his pastor," and I'm like, "Why?" He says, "Well, because he talks about you, and he shares Jesus everywhere he goes," and I said, "Well." He says he got that from you. He just wanted you to, everywhere you go, just talk about, be like Jesus. Don't just talk about it. Share the love of Jesus. It's not about a label I wear on my sleeve. I get mistaken all the time as a human being. It's amazing. Amen. What does a pastor look like? I hear all the time. And Ron says, you just look like Jesus. That's all you want to do is look like Jesus. And that's why he loved coming, and that's why he loved people. He just wanted to share the love of Jesus everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, there was never going to be a time that Jesus wasn't spoke about. He introduced us to a great Italian restaurant, Montesano's. And just the conversations about Jesus, all of the staff knew him. They knew that he knew Jesus, and he was going to pray for the meal. And we didn't care who was looking. What we're going to, you know, and talk about Jesus, and not in an offensive way, but we didn't really care what anyone thought or said. We just enjoyed the conversation of talking about what the Lord has done in us, and how he cleaned us up, how he changed us, how he molded us, how we went in one direction, now we're going in another direction. Amen. And just, you know, when my father had passed about a few weeks ago, I told Ron, I says, you're my new father. You got to, you know, I'm going to put you as my father. And then he only gave me a couple more weeks. And I said, no, what are you doing to me here, you know? But I guess the dynamic duel is what I call my dad and Ron, you know. I mean, they're up there in heaven just getting it done. Between the rocket scientist and the tool and die maker, they got it all under control up there. So it's good stuff. So, Dell, you want to come up and bless us with just a song or two? And then we'll close. Amen.
All right. Some years ago, Ron had started talking about death, talking about his death. And he says, Dell, when I pass, I want you to sing some hymns for me. And I was like, okay, not a problem, Ron, whatever you want. So I learned a song. Called Softly Yet Tenderly. And Jesus is calling. And right before Ron passed, I was about to go on vacation, and I go to see him at the hospital. And he says, Dell, when I pass, I want you to sing a song called Wings of a Dove. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, Ron, I've never heard of that song. And he starts to sing a little bit of it in his little voice. And I said, well, I'll just have to YouTube it and come up with it. I didn't realize as I was starting to try to learn this song that this song was describing Ron. The song is basically saying the blessings of God come down on the wings of a dove. And that's what Ron was to us. That really is. I guess that's the best way to sum it up. I'm going to try to make it through this to the best of my ability. When trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. He searched for land in various ways. Trouble he had some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his sweet, sweet love. Excuse me. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the water that day, he was baptized in the usual way. When it was done, God blessed his son. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Thank you. And as a request, we're going to do Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This verse here reminds me of Ron. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Thank you, Jesus. How precious dear that grace appeared.
how I first believed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I know I've already come up here and talked with. I could talk about Ron forever. Ron was a true reflection of Jesus Christ. When people say that, I mean, he truly was. And Ron was telling me, he says, you know, I was praying to God and I was asking God, who shall we save? And he said that God told him everyone. He said, I want them all. Ron never wanted to leave a person and not know whether or not they were saved or not, not know whether or not they knew Jesus. He did not want to go to heaven and leave people behind. Ron is that true child of God. If I can ever call anyone a child of God, Ron and Pat, they are true children of God. They heard the call, they got the commission, they went and they did it relentlessly, never stopped. Even on the sick bed, he's still speaking life. No, I'm sorry. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, I really want you to look into your heart. I really want you to look into your, I mean, just search your soul. And now is the time. I had heard a song a long time ago called Don't Wait Till Midnight, and it's Jesus talking to us saying that you say that you love me, you can't live without me, so why are you calling me only when you need me? And I've had many conversations with Ron about this, and it's one of those to where you don't wait till the midnight hour. Each and every day that you wake up, you have brand new mercies. Each and every day, no matter what you did the day before, you have a chance to get it right. You have a chance to get to know Jesus. You have a chance to have everlasting life. And at this time, I'm just going to ask if there's anyone, if you, anyone who don't know Jesus and want to know Jesus, take this time to come. Take this time to give your heart to Jesus. Ron loved to say the sinner's prayer with anyone. And it's very simple. If there is anyone, I'm just going to ask that everyone bow their heads right now. And if there is anyone, just lift your head. So it's not a matter of trying to point out anyone. It's not a matter of trying to embarrass anyone or shame anyone. It's just simply a matter of finding that love that Ron had found so long ago and finding that love that Ron was able to pass on to people everywhere he met. And if you'll just say it, repeat with me, everyone, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord over the life of my life. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God is raising from the dead. Amen. I know this is a celebration. This is a painful thing, but you know, Ron is going to be truly missed by everyone that's ever come in contact with him. And it was a true statement that we'll never know how many people Ron has actually touched
We'll never know how many real success stories that Ron actually has. We'll never know how many people's lives have been completely changed like mine has been changed. Pat, Michelle, I feel it for you. I truly do. And once again, I say thank you for letting me share it. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. The Bible said in John 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? We knew Ron is a smart man, but he got it simple as ABCs. He accepted, he believed, he confessed his sins, got set free, got saved. Radical transformation, changing lives everywhere he went, impacting them. Not about religion, but about relationship. It's nothing about, you know, what church the name had on the building. It was about, do you know my friend? Do you know the guy that I can hook you up with to get you eternal life? Do you know my best friend, my elder brother? This morning, neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. May the peace of the risen Christ Jesus always be with you. This morning as we conclude and we close, there will be some sandwiches. I think we have some Italian stuff out there, tortellini salad and some drinks and stuff. We'd like you to stay and fellowship and love on one another. And, you know, we need a time to grieve. There is a loss, amen, but we know what heaven has gained, amen. I know what I've gained from Ron, amen. As a man of God, as a husband, as a pastor, he spoke so much into my life. Just an awesome man of God, and it's just so good to have known him. I think today that you had a good picture of who Ron Lopes really is. And when you look at him, he look a lot like Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Bless the families. Bless, Lord God, Pat and Michelle, Father God. Bless the congregation. Fill them, Lord God, with your peace, your hope, and your strength this day. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, as we leave, Lord God, that we leave changed, that we leave different than the way we came in, that there's a part of us that, Lord God, is missing because Ron's not here, but, Lord, there's a part that he left with us so that we can carry on. Father, bless your people. Allow them, Lord God, to do the work, the will, the plan, and the purpose of God in their lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You are dismissed.